If you want to read along with us tonight, we're going to go to the book of Galatians. Galatians, this is Paul writing. I'd like to remind people, this is not a single church. Galatia was a region. We know that there were four churches that Paul was writing to. And so he's writing to the churches of Galatia and giving them a lot of encouragement, I would say, okay? A lot of good instruction, too, not just for them, but also for us, too. And we're going to read in chapter 4, the first 7 verses. And he has been describing prior to this the law of God and what the law has done for us. Okay? And I know there's churches today that don't use the Old Testament. And that's all right if they don't want to, I suppose. But I kind of wonder, how do you figure out what Jesus meant when he said, as Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days, so must the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth? How do you figure that out if you don't have the New Testament? You know, how do you figure out when Jesus or a Pharisee or even Paul or Peter wrote about what the old law said? How do you figure that out if you've never looked at the Old Testament? And, you know, we're not living under that, and that's good, and that's kind of what we're going to talk about tonight. We're not living under it for this reason, okay, that we're going to talk about. But it's still good. It's still history. And let me just say this. History is important. It's very important. Thomas Jefferson said there's one thing we learn from history. And that is that we don't learn from history. Because we repeat it, don't we? We always think we're a little bit more sophisticated, a little smarter. It wouldn't happen to our generation. Well, it can, you know. And so we need to learn. And some of the things that happened to the children of Israel throughout the Old Testament ought to be warnings to us not to go down the same path. As a sign that I read one time in a feed mill, actually, in Houstonville, Kentucky. I don't know why I remember that. Even remember the name of the feed mill. It's gone now. Hester's Feed Mill. I was putting a roof on it. This has been back in the 70s. But there was a sign in there that said an old Indian proverb, learn from everybody else's mistakes because you won't live long enough to make them all yourself. Pretty smart saying, if you ask me. Well, we ought to learn. And the law really is a great teacher, and Paul talks about that here. But follow along as we read in Galatians 4, 1 through 7. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be lord over all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Now he's talking about being under bondage of the law until something happened. And don't really have time to go in all of this, but Paul wrote in another place that a testament or a will, you might say, is only in force after the death of the testator. You know, a lot of kids are really interested in the will that their parents have. They want to know, you know, what am I going to get when they're dead? That's not something I've ever worried about. I know what my parents' will still says today, and I keep telling them they need to change it, and they won't do it. But it was just my brother and I, and it says share and share alike. I don't have anybody to share it with anymore. So I keep saying change it. They said, no, we're just going to leave it like that. Just share it with yourself, I guess. I don't know. But that's only in force after they're gone. Now, I don't know about you, but I'd prefer to have them as to have what they have. So that's not all that important to me. So I'd rather have them here. But Paul's talking about something that is really good. It's really good for us. And I want to just keep your Bible open, and Brother Greg will keep it on the screen for us as we kind of walk down through some of the things that are said here. You'll notice in verse 2 that he talked about until the time appointed of the Father. And he's talking about a child growing up and not yet receiving their inheritance. He said, until the time appointed by the Father. Do you know that God's got a timeline? Now, it's different than ours. I mean, we live in a world that, let me say it this way, it's pretty messed up. In a lot of ways, okay? We want what we want, and we want it now. You can thank McDonald's for that. Right? And they're not as good at it as they used to be. I don't go by McDonald's, but I watch now. Used to, they had so many seconds to get people's orders filled at the window. Now it's like, pull forward. I hear people tell me that all the time, you know, and it's like, well, we'll bring it to you. And 10 minutes later, they bring it to you. Well, they're messing up their own standard, you know, of instant service. And let's face it, when we go to a fast food restaurant, we're not looking for something that's good. We're looking for something that's fast. I mean, if you're going to a fast food restaurant to look for something that's good, you're pretty warped as far as I'm concerned, okay? I don't mind sitting at the restaurant waiting a few minutes for a good meal, okay? But we want what we want. We want it now. I mean, just to tell you straight up, I'm working on a building for the company I work for right now, and 40,000 square foot building, and the reason is it's service. The people that we had subcontracted to ship our product out have not given good service to our customers. And we can thank Amazon for that. You know, you order it today and that you expect to have it tomorrow or sometimes today. And actually where I live, we've got an Amazon warehouse about 30 miles away. And if you ordered early this morning and you're an Amazon Prime member, you might have it this afternoon because UPS is right across the street. And that's the kind of service we're looking for, right? And that's what we almost demand of God. Do you know that? We almost demand that of God. But God does things in his own way and his own time. And what Paul says here in verse 4, we want to kind of dwell on that, maybe verse 4 and 5. He said, when the fullness of time was come. Now think about that, when the fullness of time was come. God had a standard set for a certain time that he would send his son into the world. As I've studied the Old Testament and I've seen the failures and the successes of Israel, the ups and downs that they had, I've often wondered if they had been really obedient and done what God wanted them to do, would God have sent Christ earlier? I don't know, but he might have. But God was waiting for things to be just right. God had a plan and a time, and he has that for everything. As a matter of fact, he's got that for when his son comes back. And I know, and I like to go off on prophecy teachers a lot of times because they all seem so sure of themselves. And I don't know if you've ever noticed it or not, but the people that are now teaching prophecy of the end, you know, what we call eschatology, the end of the world. Everybody knew that big word, didn't you? Eschatology. It's talking about the theory of end things. Everybody who's very, very prominent in the Christian world today, we shouldn't be listening to any of them. And you know why? Because every one of them have written books predicting the time, and every one of them are wrong. Means they're false prophets. We shouldn't be listening to them. And they'll say, oh, I messed up, and this has got to happen, and that's got to happen. And of course, whatever bothers me is that every time they do that, before they ever quit on their radio program or whatever, they'll say, now, you need to get your heart right, because the Lord could come back any time. And that's when I yell at the radio. And I say, you need to make up your mind. Either all that stuff's got to happen or he can come back anytime. And you know what? I think he can come back anytime. Well, that's the way that the Jews felt about their Messiah. He could come at any time. And what Paul is telling us, when the fullness of time was come, when the time was right, when everything was just like it needed to be, that is when God sent forth his Son. Now, this was not a spur-of-the-moment decision. This is not, you know, because, circumstances had changed, and so I think it's a good idea. No, none of that. This was pre-planned. As a matter of fact, another scripture tells us and really shows us in a very picturesque way that Jesus Christ was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. I mean, he was killed from the very beginning? Well, the plan was there from the very beginning. God knew. Do you know you can't fool God? You also can't surprise God. A lot of people think they can. You can't sneak up on God or surprise him. He knows what's coming next. And he had a plan. His plan all along, even before Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, God knew that at one point there was going to be failure of mankind. And so he already had this plan in place. It wasn't a reactionary plan. Remember what we preached about last Sunday, being a thermometer or a thermostat? God's a thermostat. He doesn't react to the things surrounding him. He's got it all figured out. And what he's doing is he waits on us. And when everything got just right, God sent forth his Son. The plan that he had all those thousands of years before was now beginning to unfold. God sent his Son into the world. Notice what he said. He sent his Son made of a woman. Now, why is that important? Well, let me tell you why that's important. I like to break these verses down sometimes. He's made of a woman. Jesus did not come, as some still teach today, as a spirit. He didn't come as a spirit. And you ever ask yourself, well, why didn't he come as a spirit? You know, God is a spirit, right? You know what the Bible said? That's what Jesus said. God is spirit. But God didn't send his Son in the form of a spirit. But he sent him in a fleshly body. As John says over in John chapter 1, when he calls Jesus the Word, that visible representation of God, he said, and the Word became flesh. Why did God send his Son into the world through a woman? And you guys all know the story, don't you? Well, if you don't, let's just review it for a second, okay? Joseph was never Jesus' father. He didn't have what we would say an earthly, fleshly father. Now, Joseph was recruited to step in and play the fatherly role for Jesus, okay? But in no way was Joseph his father. Because the angel told Mary, when he announced that she was going to be with child, she said, how can this be, since I don't know a man? And the angel replied that the Holy Ghost would come upon her. She would be conceiving a child of the Holy Ghost, a part of God. Okay? So Jesus is indeed the Son of God, but God chose to bring him into the world through a woman so that he could have not a spiritual body, but a fleshly body. Now, why is that important, that he would have a fleshly body? Some people don't think this way. I think about things like this all the time. You know, Jimmy thinks I was high on that scissor lift the other day. Sometimes I get high thinking on things of God. Get him up there where it's real hot next to that ceiling. Just come on down next few days. I'll take you right up there. You can help me pull some wire and things, okay? He'll be going, get me down from here. It's hot. It is. We get the wires run next week for air conditioning. It won't be so hot up there. Why did he come in a fleshly body? You ever ask yourself that? Spirits don't die. You can't kill a spirit. That soul that's within you, I like to say it like this, is going to exist somewhere throughout eternity. Never die. It's a true saying. There was a time when you were not, but there will never be a time when you are not. You will exist. I don't call hell living. I've heard preachers say, you'll live somewhere, heaven or hell. I don't call hell living. I call that existing. Your soul will be somewhere. So Jesus couldn't come as a spirit, because you can't kill a spirit. And if it was going to take the blood of Jesus Christ to save us, then he had to come in the flesh. There had to be a physical body. There had to be blood pulsating through his veins in order for the Roman soldiers to nail him to a cross, to take his life, and to shed his blood. That's why he came from a woman. Made of a woman. He said, the next little clause is made under the law. Made under the law. What does that mean, that he was made under the law? Well, it means that he was made under the law while the law was still in effect. Still in effect. You got that? There's a lot of people in the world today, they say they'd like to be Christians. I mean, I've talked to folks like this. Oh, I'd like to be a Christian, but I need to quit sinning first. Good luck on that one, okay? You can't do it, okay? As a matter of fact, Christians today oftentimes struggle with temptation and falling into sin. Don't we struggle with that once in a while? I mean, John told us, he said over in John, 1 John, he said, my little children, I write unto you that you sin not. That's his advice. Don't sin. But he said, if you do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the whole world. So, yes, we stumble and sometimes we fall, but we get back up and we go back to God and we ask forgiveness, right? We don't quit sinning when we come to Christ. That makes about as much sense as having pneumonia and say, when I get over this, I think I'll go to the doctor. You're not going to do that, are you? You don't wait till you get well. I go to a doctor every 20, 25 years, and I don't really like it. You go in there with a bunch of sick people. They don't wait till they get well to go to the doctor. Listen, God didn't wait until the world got in a real good shape before he sent his son. He sent his son into the world while the world was still under the law and was as sinful and despicable as it possibly could be. I hear people say all the time, oh, world's never been in any worse condition it's in right now. You need to read your history about the way it was under Rome. Let me tell you something. Sexual immorality was rampant in the Roman Empire. I'm telling you, it was. Persecution of people that didn't agree with the Romans was rampant. Trafficking of slaves was rampant under the Roman Empire. It was a terrible, terrible world that Jesus Christ came into. And God wasn't waiting for everything to get right. He sent his son made under the law while the law was still in effect. Now, I didn't tell Brother Greg to put this on the screen. I'm going to jump up one chapter. I'm going to go into chapter 3 and look at one verse there and let you see what he said, okay? Listen to what he said in chapter 3, verse 24. Paul's been talking about the law, and he said, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. He came while the law was in effect, and what the law did, according to Paul, and I quite agree with him, was to lead us to Christ. You know, I wish I had a week or two to talk to you about all this. I love to study the old law. Love to know what it all represents. Do you understand tonight that every sacrifice that was ever made under the law of God pointed toward Jesus Christ coming into the world? Every sacrifice. My goodness, even before the law, while they're still down in Egypt and the 10th plague has come by, the plague of death, and they're told to take that little lamb and to put it up, and on the 14th day of the month to bring it out and to kill it and to catch its blood and to spread the blood on the doorpost and the lintel of the front door of the house, all that pointed toward Christ. I can't imagine how terrible it must have felt to live under the law. Every time, listen to me, every time you committed a sin, the law had a prescribed method to offer a sacrifice and to appease God for what you had done. Now listen to me, men. You were responsible to offer it for your family. Women couldn't go and offer a sacrifice. Wouldn't you feel sorry for Don Curry if you saw him dragging a little lamb down Main Street of Israel, of Jerusalem, and you knew Don hadn't done nothing wrong? What would be your thought? What has Judy done now? Right? And it may be her. Okay? Or hey, look, it might have been their child. But he was responsible to offer the sacrifice. And here's the sad part about that. When he offered the sacrifice, God said, thank you for offering the sacrifice, but it never took anybody's sins away. Jesus Christ came into a world under the law that had a prescribed method of offering a sacrifice and even a specific sacrifice for each and every sin. They were categorized. God required different sacrifices for different sins. And he was nice enough to give us different categories of how wealthy that we were. The wealthy person might be required to offer a lamb or a goat, but those of us who were poor might just be required to bring a turtle dove or a pigeon. God had it all worked out. But none of it ever forgave our sins. And God's plan was not for us just to offer sacrifices to appease him, but every sacrifice pointed toward the ultimate sacrifice under the law of his son that would come into the world by way of a woman. And so Jesus Christ, in the fullness of time, God sent him into the world made of a woman, made under the law to do something. To redeem, he said, them that were under the law. To redeem us. To pay a price. To buy us out of sin. You see, Paul wrote this in Romans. I like this verse in Romans chapter 8. You know, after he goes through chapter 7 and people get confused with that and I try to straighten people up and they just won't do it. You know, they'll go, well, I think it's this way. And I keep saying, well, just read it for what it says, okay? But in chapter 8, he said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And the next verse said, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son, catch this, in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, has condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of God might be revealed in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Jesus Christ came into the world in the likeness of sinful flesh. He was not sinful. As a matter of fact, he was the only sinless human being to ever live. But while he was a human being, 100% born of a woman, he was also 100% God. So he came in the likeness of sinful flesh, not sinful flesh, because had he been sinful flesh, he would not have been worthy to have been the sacrifice for the sins of sinful flesh. Am I making sense to you? See, we're getting a little deep in theology tonight. I like to do that on Sunday night crowd once in a while. I don't normally do that on Sunday morning crowd, okay? But don't be boggled by this, okay? Jesus came into the world, sent by the Father, came born of a woman, under the law. Why did he come? To redeem us from sin. To rescue us from the direction that we were headed in. And every one of us, before we came to Christ and found forgiveness for our sins, accepted him into our life, every one of us were on a broad road going one way directly toward hell. Every one of us was. But Jesus Christ made a crossroads across that road when we could make a decision to come to him and to get forgiveness of our sins and to be adopted. Isn't that what Paul talks about here? He said to redeem them that were under the law, that ye might receive the adoption of sons and daughters. That's why Christ came. And he came not necessarily when the world was looking for him, but he came by God's calling, God's time. Even when we were sinners. And Paul said this in Romans, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Aren't you glad that he didn't wait for us to cry to get our lives all straightened out and fixed up before he sent his son? I tell you, I'm glad that Jesus Christ came during a time in the history of the world that things were terrible. They were chaotic. The world was absolutely a mess. It's a mess today. The world is always going to be in a mess until we accept the fact that God sent his only begotten Son into the world to save us. Is it any wonder that the most popular verse of Scripture in the entire Bible is John 3:16? Because in just a little sentence right there, it tells us in one sentence, and Jesus is the one that said it. Did you know that? See, a lot of times we forget that. He's talking to Nicodemus in John chapter 3 when he tells him this. Jesus, he takes the gospel in a nutshell, just in one sentence, and he delivers it to Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, a follower and a believer of the law. Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And Paul just says it in a longer way right here, right? We today, what was lost in the Garden of Eden, that fellowship between man and God that was broken because of the sin of Adam in the garden. It's been broken all these years, but because Christ died for us, that thing that was lost can be restored to us. The fellowship between us and God can be restored, and the opportunity has been given to us because of what Jesus Christ did when he gave his life for our sins. He opened up the way that you and I could not only have forgiveness of our sins, but we could be adopted into the family of God and we could fellowship. Listen, this is awesome to me. You guys don't look like you're too excited. But this is awesome to me that I now, me, little old me, have been adopted into the family of the most awesome, powerful thing in the entire universe. God the Father, that literally set back almost 6,000 years ago and spoke the world into being. That's powerful. Me can talk to him one-on-one through his Son, Jesus Christ, that voluntarily, even though he was sent by the Father, voluntarily came anyway because he loved us and died for us, so that we could have forgiveness and fellowship could be restored between us. Did you notice the wording right there that Paul uses in verse 6? He said, "And because you are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son in your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." Now, Abba's not a big word, and I hope all of you know what it means. And if you don't, I'm going to tell you. Daddy. You know, father sometimes seems a little distant, doesn't it? I always worried about that. I'm sure when I was a little kid, that's what I called my dad, was Daddy. But he's just been Dad to me ever since, you know. And that's the way God is. He's just Dad. He's just our Heavenly Father, and we ought to feel close enough to Him, and we can because Jesus Christ died for us. We can say, Dad, need a little help down here. We can say, Dad, thank you for the day that you've blessed us with. Thank you for life and for health and for strength. Thank you for making a way that I could have my sins forgiven. When the time was just right, God sent forth His Son into the world, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem us who were condemned by the law, that we might be called the children of God. And God's got another timeline. This timeline, and I don't know when it is. I mean, I'm not real smart. And these fellows that are preaching prophecy and teaching prophecy, I'm telling you, every last one of them that you see on television and hear on the radio have written books and have specified a time that they say He's coming back, and He did not come back. We call them people false prophets. Quit buying their books and quit sending them money, okay? Because they're wrong. They're getting rich, and that's why they keep talking and people keep paying because people want to know. But I can guarantee you this, Jesus said, no man knows the day nor the hour, not even the angels in heaven. He said, I don't even know when I'm coming back, just my Father only. And so trust me, He's coming back. I don't know when, but He's coming back. And God has provided a way for us to be ready that when He does send Jesus Christ back, we can be taken away. And if you happen not to live that long to where Christ is coming back, and He might, okay? I mean, He may come back tonight. I don't know. Some of you already thought just right then, well, He ain't coming back tonight. How do you know? I wish you explained that to me. We don't know. Yes, He could come back tonight. And if He doesn't come back during your lifetime, there's going to come a time He's going to come and get us one at a time. I told somebody today that mentioned how bad it was about Brother David Cox passing away. I said, it's not a problem. No, that's not a bad thing for David. How many years have we seen David struggle? How many years? I mean, just get confused. I mean, he's been right here at church on Sunday morning and get up walking down the halls looking for his room in the place where he stayed. Just confused. Can I tell you something? David's not confused anymore. No, I'm sure he was in some pain because of that tumor that was behind his ear. And the doctors told him, you know, you got to have this surgery, and without it, you know, it's going to end your life. And with it, we don't know whether you're going to wake up or not. I can tell you this. Yesterday, David Cox woke up. Glenna Coffey, who has struggled with cancer for several years and lost her husband a few years ago, Glenna's not struggling anymore. No, she's gone, but guess what? She's gone to a better place because Jesus Christ provided a way that she could go. I want to go one of these days. I'm glad that God had a time that He sent His Son, and that He sent Him through a woman so that He could die for my sins, that He came while we were still under the curse of the law. But praise God, we're not under the curse of the law anymore. We have found grace by Jesus Christ. And we ought to enjoy that. We ought to appreciate it. We ought to lift up the name of Jesus Christ for what He's done for us, because God had a plan. And God's fulfilled that part of the plan, but the other part's going to come. When? I don't know. Don't know. But God's going to have the rest of the plan completed one of these days. I want to be ready when He completes the rest of the plan. Don't you? Don't you? Yeah. Yeah. We will have, let me get a little deeper here for just a couple of minutes, okay? Because of what Jesus Christ did. You know what happened in the Garden of Eden? Remember Adam and Eve sinned? God said this about them. He said, we can't allow them to stay in the garden. Because if we do, they can go to the tree of life and they can eat of the tree of life and live forever. We can't have that. We've pronounced the curse of death upon them. So God expelled them from Eden. And the Bible said that He placed cherubims east of Eden with flaming swords to guard the way to the tree of life. So they couldn't go back. I got a feeling, don't you imagine Adam and Eve said, boy, if we could just go back and get us a little taste of that tree of life, boy, that'd be great, wouldn't it? Well, let me tell you something. According to the book of Revelation in chapter 22, the way to the tree of life is going to be opened up again. Did you hear what I said? Going to be? I was hoping somebody would say, what do you mean? It's already been opened up. Jesus Christ has already provided the way. And Revelation chapter 22 says, we have the right to the tree of life. Eternal life for all of us because God sent forth his Son into the world, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that are under the law, that we might be adopted into the family and we might be called his sons. I'm excited about that. That thrills me. Because I can now be considered a child of God. And I have access to my Heavenly Father. And guess what? If you're a Christian today, you do too. And here's the beautiful part about it. If you're not a Christian, you can have access. Because Jesus Christ died for everybody. Everybody. And there's absolutely not a sin that's ever been committed in this world that he will not forgive. He will. He loves us that much. And I am thankful and I hope that you are. Stand with me if you would, but we'll be dismissed.